Within minutes of the attack on the Pentagon, local hospitals began activating disaster plans. Virtually every hospital has one. It's a blueprint for responding to a catastrophe that leaves large numbers of people in need of medical care. The Pentagon attacks showed that these plans work, but they don't anticipate every type of attack, and their effectiveness has been reduced by efforts to cut costs. NPR's John Hamilton reports.
Barbara Brown was working here in the trauma unit at Washington Hospital Center when the phone call arrived. A plane had crashed into the Pentagon. Brown is a paramedic and part of the hospital's flight team. She was aboard one of the first medical helicopters to reach the scene.
The first thing we saw was massive smoke. And when we approached the Pentagon from the backside, we swung up to the front from the right side of the Pentagon. We couldn't even see the aircraft. It was so far into the Pentagon. At this point, it was early, 35, 40 minutes after the crash had occurred, so billows of black smoke, a lot of fire, a lot of people fleeing in 20, 30 different directions.
On the ground, Brown and Tammy Royce, a flight nurse, began triaging patients. The most critical were people who'd inhaled air and gas so hot it scorched their throats and lungs. That can cause air passageways to swell shut in less than an hour. Brown remembers a woman who worked in the Pentagon, Raquel Kelly. She was running out of time.
She had already been taken care of by some of the medical personnel. She already had an IV in place. She already had an oxygen mask on her face, but she was getting worse. She had reached her 45 minutes to an hour window. It was clear that she was having difficulty in breathing. She was acting very agitated, very restless, which is her indications that not enough oxygenated blood is getting to the brain.
So Brown inserted a breathing tube in Kelly's throat and flew with her to Washington Hospital Center. It's a large teaching hospital not far from the Capitol building, and it's the place emergency teams take adults with severe burns. By the time Brown arrived with Raquel Kelly, the hospital had implemented its disaster plan.
We had operating rooms available with surgical teams ready to go. We had many more ICU beds than we needed.
Dr. Chris Worker is in charge of the hospital's disaster plan. He was in his car when the Pentagon was hit, on his way to a meeting about disasters. He arrived at the hospital in time to see his own plan in action.
We had both our trauma bays and the emergency department cleared out, ready to receive a large number of patients. I mean, this place was ready to rock.
The disaster teams kept Raquel Kelly alive during the critical hours that followed. She left the hospital less than a week later. Worker says not every part of the disaster plan worked so well. The phone system went down, though a backup system did kick in. Other emergency services often failed to tell the hospital what was going on. And Worker says he discovered a major flaw in his plan. It didn't consider that the hospital and its staff might come under attack. He says that was especially alarming as news reports suggested that a second hijacked plane was heading toward Washington, D.C.
It's one thing for a rescuer to go in and help someone. It's another thing to do the same thing when they're being shot at. It's going to require looking at things completely differently. I've never had to think this way.
Worker also says the episode was a good test of hospitals' ability to respond to attacks that produce fires and explosions. But it revealed little about what might happen with a biological or chemical weapon.
This is not someone flying into the World Trade Center. This is not an explosion going off. It may be someone lighting off a canister or something or spraying something and then telling you that you were exposed to some nasty agent. But it also could be something that happened very covertly.
In that case, people might show up days later with symptoms that at first look like the flu. Most hospitals have not addressed biological threats in their disaster plans. Washington Hospital Center has. Worker says it's prepared to isolate entire wards to prevent a disease from spreading. Whatever form a terrorist attack takes, hospitals' response could be limited by their resources. Worker considers this from his emergency room more than a week after the Pentagon attack. It's a typical day. The area is overflowing with patients. There's a line of gurneys out the door, and nurses and doctors are scrambling to keep up.
Unfortunately, it's a problem that we deal with every day. As you can see around here, here's a weekday. This is not particularly a busy day for us, but day to day, these are issues of not having adequate resources to take care of the patients that are coming into the ERs. It's a huge issue. How do you get the space, the physical space to take care of these patients? How do you get the physician and nurse and ancillary services?
Those services are stretched thin everywhere in the hospital, even without a disaster. On this day, the hospital's trauma unit assembles a dozen workers to treat a man who's been stabbed repeatedly. The team has just time to make sure he's not in imminent danger when they're called away to another case. It's a gunshot wound. The young man's heart isn't beating. The team goes to work. One member slices open the man's chest, another pries apart his ribs. A third reaches into the chest with both hands and begins compressing his heart.
Cattle charged to 20.
And then you press the red button after you say clear.
Okay, don't touch any metal. Everyone back. Yes. Sure. Beating.
They start the man's heart and wheel him to surgery. Doctors say patients like this keep arriving, even in the middle of a disaster. And that's a problem in an era when hospitals have been encouraged to eliminate extra staff and supplies. Jim Bentley is with the American Hospital Association. He says the current hospital system is fine for normal use.
It is not the system you're going to choose to have in place when you confront an incident like this. You need surge capacity, you need backup capacity, you need the ability to flex to the situation, and I believe we're now going to have a discussion in our country about what is the appropriate size, shape, and characteristic of the hospital field to both do its current care mission and to be available for the disaster or terrorist or other kinds of incidents.
That will mean reconsidering limits on costly services. Barbara Brown, the paramedic who flew to the Pentagon, says limits don't sound scary when they're discussed in meetings. But in a major disaster, the availability of extra people and equipment often determines who lives and who dies. At the Pentagon, Raquel Kelly was saved by the quick actions of a helicopter and flight crew. Brown says things might have been different if there had been hundreds of people struggling to breathe and not enough medical teams.
A true triage situation, a start triage. You assess their airway. If they cannot breathe on their own, you open their airway once. If they still cannot spontaneously breathe on their own, you tag the patient a black tag and you move on.
Black tags are attached to people who are expected to die or who are already dead. John Hamilton, NPR News, Washington.